You guys just rock for Jesus, I'm telling you.
Thank you.
Amen. Give them a good hand this morning. You know, Jesus believes in rock and roll. You realize that? Yeah. Well, Jesus is the rock, and he rolled my blues away. Bop, shoo-bop, shoo-bop. Woo! Hallelujah. Hand me my word there, Holly. I appreciate it. God is a good, faithful God, isn't he? Well, that's my perception of God. He is a good, good Father. He's faithful in all areas of our life. Hallelujah. And you are just extremely loved today. I want you to stand this morning, if you will, and turn into Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. We're going to look at the King James a second, then we're going to go down to the ESV version, and then I'm going to have you look at the Amplified, and then I'm going to have you look at the Message. I just want you to look at this morning. This is a powerful verse of Scripture out of Proverbs, out of the Old Covenant, but I want you to get a grasp of this morning. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision. Can we put up the ESV there if you have it this morning? I don't know if you might. Amen. There you go. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Look at the next verse here. Let's go over to the Amplified. Put that up if you will. All right, there you go, brother. You're so good. Where there is no vision, listen to this, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish, but he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and what? Enviable is he. Let's look at the Message this morning. I want to just give you some of this word. Let's look at what the Message has to say about this. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. That is powerful. I want you to let that sink in this morning. And while you do, hold up your Bible and let's confess this with Pastor today. We say this around here. If you're a guest, God bless you this morning. Glad you're here. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn around and give somebody a virtual high five and say, how are you seeing today? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you this. Have you ever asked God, you may be seated, have you ever asked God to give you a picture for your life? Have you ever asked God, would you just give me a picture, show me a picture of life, show me a picture for my life, show me a vision for my life? God, would you just give me this and show it to me? Amen. You know, there's an old saying, a song came out many years ago called If, and it was by Bread, and says, if a picture paints 1,000 words, who said that? Somebody's a Bread fan. Then why can't I paint you? The words will never show the you I've come to know, right? So this is amazing to me because so many believers never consider or ask God to give them a vision for their life and a revelation of God's word in their life so that they can build on that vision or revelation that God gives them. There is never an architect that starts a project or never a builder that starts a project that does not have a vision for that ending result or what that project is going to look like. Yet many believers, they just never think about asking God, Lord, what do you have purpose for my life? What is the revelation that you can give me that I can build a solid foundation on for my life, for my family, for my business, for everything I put my hand to? God has a vision for you, and the Bible says, where there is no redemptive revelation, the people perish. And the Message Bible says we just kind of grope along like blind people. We're just kind of looking here and there and just hoping. Turn to somebody and say, hope is not a strategy. Amen. God gives us hope. We hope in the Bible. It's the expectation of good. But God wants you to have a solid vision of God's goodness, of God's plan, of God's redemptive revelation for your life, that you may live in the blessing and the victory of God's grace every day of your life. Wow. Turn to somebody and say, did you get that? Amen. So you need to get started seeing yourself, first of all, as God sees you. God sees you as whole in every way in your life today. God doesn't see you sick. God doesn't see you puny. God doesn't see you broke. God doesn't see you pathetic. God doesn't see you depressed. No, no, no. God sees you full of His joy, full of His Spirit, full of life, full of health, full of money. Turn to somebody and say, amen. Somebody should have said amen on that last one at least. Amen. God sees you complete this morning, with nothing lacking and nothing broken in your life. And so God sees you that way. He doesn't see His kids without. He sees His kids with plenty. Amen. I was sitting back there yesterday in Caris. We have Caris. Some of you need to be going to Caris. It's a powerful, powerful experience. We have it here. Take opportunity. Go. Yeah, it costs a little bit of money, but anything that's worth it costs something. Amen. Praise God. You need to get discipled. Really, I mean, really receive. Man, there's some just good stuff out there, and we want to take it all in. I don't know about you, but I do. But I was sitting back there, and as I was sitting back there, I looked at this space, and I said, you know, this would be a great children's church area. Just a great children's church, about the size of what I'm believing for a children's church area. Oh, yeah, praise God, about 200 kids. Come on, somebody. Come on, amen. Praise God, the more kids we have, the more opportunity we have to grow kids in grace that will lead in our country and in our nation and have a positive effect instead of a negative effect on people. So I was thinking about, you know, this is about a great size for a children's area. Hallelujah. And then I was thinking about, praise God, you know, a sanctuary that seat about 600, 700, 800, maybe 1,000, and we can go to 2 or 3 services. How great would that be? A youth area that would seat at least 400 kids with full complete basketball courts. Hallelujah. Amen. That we could do sports during the week to attract the community in. That we would have ministers in so many different areas of our staff and working in these areas. That we'd have a large cafe that we could share the good news of Jesus. That we'd have a God's gym within that area that people could come in and work out. Have videos going of music. Oh, come on. Come on, somebody. Can you see this? Can I take you up to a level and really get a picture? Amen. I mean, wow, have an awesome place for Caris with about 100 students going. You know, I don't believe this area is a dead area. I believe we can speak life into this area. I believe we can speak grace into this area. Listen to me. I believe we can speak a redemptive revelation of God's grace and God's Holy Spirit over this entire area, and a great revival would take place and an awakening to know what God has for His people around this area and around the nation. Turn to somebody and say, it is not too late. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When Christians begin to stand up and take their rightful authority with all that God has in them and begin to share with others, people cannot help but be attracted to what you have. You know you have the greatest life that anybody could ever have if you're a believer this morning. You know, God has empowered you and anointed you for such a time as this. Amen. It is time for the church not to be sleeping, but for the church to arise and declare the gates of hell is not going to prevail against us because we have the anointing and the power of Jesus Christ living within us. Come on, somebody. Amen. You see, what happens is so many times we just get to a comfort level and we really don't ask God, God, give us all these things that we know are already ours, but God, just let it see manifested in our lives. People all around us are hurting. They're lonely. They're lost. And they need the good news, not the bad news, not somebody thumping them over the head, telling them they're going to hell. No, they're already living in hell, a lot of them. They need the good news of Jesus Christ that said God's come to deliver you, to save you, and to give you such a life that you couldn't even imagine. It is an extraordinary life in Jesus Christ. And we have the power within us. And that's why I said without a redemptive revelation, everything that is in the redemption of Jesus Christ has been revealed in the scripture to us. You know why I am so grateful for grace this morning? I am so grateful for grace because that grace came into my life and it just exploded when I saw all that God has already done for us. Man, the grace message is powerful. I was walking around this morning, it was so funny because I was just walking around, I was hugging on people, and you know, there was two ladies out there, and I was walking up to them, and I said, hey, I want to tell you something. They kind of looked at me like, you know, they're going to hear something, and I said, God really loves you. And they said, oh, Pastor, you know, it's just like, God really loves you. God really loves you. And I think Jeff was walking around here, and I put my arm around Jeff, our guitar player. I said, hey, Jeff, I said, God really loves you, you know. And he said, yeah, he said, God loves the world, too, and they just don't know it yet. And I said, you know what, that's true, because that's exactly what John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. The trouble is, they just don't know it yet. God is so in love with us people of this world, and it's a tragedy they don't know it yet. But I believe this year people are going to come to the revelation knowledge, the redemptive revelation knowledge, that God totally loves them, unconditionally loves them, and it's got good for their life, good for their family, good for their kids, good for their... Hallelujah. And you know how it's going to take place? It's going to take place through us, through the body of Christ. You know, some people, God is called to be kings. He's blessed them financially. Kings support priests. Some people are called to be priests. Amen? Priests had to be supported. They relied upon the people. And I believe that God is raising up kings in this last days. You know, I know of a building right now that it would be great to have that building. I could see us in that building. It's got full gym already. It's got about 20-something thousand square feet. It's got exercise arenas. It's got all this stuff. It only cost $5 million. Turn to somebody and say, that's a drop in the bucket for God. In fact, it's a drop in the bucket for you. I believe in prosperity. I am unequivocally, undeniably, if you want to call me a grace prosperity preacher, label me, please. I believe in it. I believe God desires to prosper his people while we're here on this earth so that the kingdom of God can be advanced like never before, so that we can reach multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of people. And we can do it, listen to me, we can do it with excellence. God is an excellent God. And I believe in this coming year, God is raising up kings within us to bless the ministry, to give to the ministry, to just to say, I'm believing God's gonna bring somebody to our lives and say, Pastor, whatever you need, write the check. Woo! And we can bless kids, and we can bless youth, and we can bless this community, and we can give them the grace message of God. Anybody with me this morning? This is going to be a year that God is fulfilling His church and filling His church with a redemptive vision. Go over to 1 Samuel 3:1. 1 Samuel 3:1. And the child Samuel, beautiful story if you haven't read this, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Eli in the Hebrew means my God. Eli means my God. Under the old covenant, God was always represented as a distant God. He was always represented as a distant God. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, He said these same words that Eli, His name meant. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was always distant. But today, as believers, God is not distant any longer. In fact, the Bible says that we cry, Abba, Father. We call Him Daddy today because He's not a distant God. And in the new covenant, thank God for the new covenant, we have a new relationship with God, a personal relationship, knowing that He's not mad, He's not angry, but He's actually pleased with every believer that's sitting in this place today and all around the world. Samuel represented a new type of ministry. When he was young, he ministered before the Lord under the priesthood of Eli, the old covenant. This is a picture of the new coming in and the old going out. It is a prophetic time. It is a prophetic time we are living in. We're living in a prophetic time right now. God is causing transition to happen between the old covenant and grace. People are understanding and realizing the message of God's grace that I believe was intended for this last day to really set people free and empower them. If you always think God is mad at you and out to get you, you will never trust Him fully. But when you know that God is for you and not against you, you can completely trust Him and your faith explodes inside of your life because you know you serve a God that's not out to whack you every time you get out of line. Anybody ever been to Chuck E. Cheese? Come on, anybody but Pastor, anybody ever been to Chuck E. Cheese? If you had kids, you know, back in the day, you would take them to Chuck E. Cheese, right? You would go and you'd play that roll ball thing. You'd hope to get points, right? I'd play it more than the girls because I liked it, right? And we'd take our girls, and then they had whack-a-mole. Anybody remember whack-a-mole? It's like you got a hammer, and you got these little moles that pop up. Look, Dave's over there going, wah, wah, wah. And you sit there, and you whack them, and you try to whack them. And I always think about, that's what I used to think about God when I was trying to serve Him under the old covenant and under the new. That every time I'd do something wrong, whack. And then I'd have to wait 2 days to feel like I was getting back right with God. Sometimes a week. Sometimes till next Sunday, and I was the preacher. Come on, somebody. Amen. And that's why when we give an altar call, all of our altars would fill up because I would whack people all the time. Whack, whack, whack. You know? And they'd feel bad, and they'd feel like they had to get back right with God. Isn't it cool? Grace is so powerful. Even when you make a mistake, God loves you the same. Even when you blow it, God says, that's my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Wow, that is an amazing thing. God is a good, good Father. Now look at this. The boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in those days, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. There's a shift taking place right now, a shift of revelation within the body of Christ. People are starting to see their God-given authority under grace and what God has for them. There's a shift in knowing that miracles are going to be taking place and are taking place because people have a revelation of what God has done for them. And when they have the revelation, there's a shift that takes place. There's healing that is poured out. Glory to God. There's mental states coming back in. Emotional problems are being healed. Physical problems are being healed. Stomach problems are being healed. All types of healing are breaking forth throughout the body of Christ. And the reason is people are getting a revelation that God is a good, good God. And it's a finished covenant. Hallelujah. Glory to God Almighty. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Turn to somebody and say, don't settle, man. You've got to get this revelation. You've got to understand what God has done for you. You've got to build your life on it. You've got to build your family on it. You want a successful family? You want a successful business? Start understanding how God is for you and not against you. Start realizing God is so good to me. God is so awesome to me. Hallelujah. He's blessed me to be a blessing. He's given me a precious family. Thank you, Lord, for my job. Thank you, God, I'm advancing. Thank you, God, I'm going to own this place. Hallelujah. As believers in Christ today, we are not in this position of lack or doubt because of Jesus' finished work. We are able to receive the vision of Jesus Christ and the redemptive revelation. Amen. He has given us a fresh anointing and a beautiful Holy Spirit overflowing to walk in. Amen. Do you realize you are called to just be like Jesus? Do you realize that God led Jesus in vision? Do you realize God led Jesus in vision? I want to share something with you. Go over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, and let's start at verse 3. Amen. Acts 10:38 says that the anointing we have is the same anointing Jesus had. And Acts 10:38 says, Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the enemy. That same anointing that Jesus has is the same anointing that's in you today. Now, I want you to look at John chapter 5, verse 3. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Next verse. This is the gate of beautiful. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water, and whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. This is the pool of Bethesda. It was five porches in this pool. Five is the number of grace. Five is the number of grace. For an angel went down a certain time, stirred up the water, and whatever stepped in first after stepping of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Next verse. Amen. Next verse. Now a certain man, everybody say a certain man. A certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. Turns to me, that's a long time. You don't have to be sick that long. In fact, you don't have to be sick for just a moment. In fact, you don't even have to get sick. That's the good news of the gospel. 38 years. This actually represented Israel's wandering in the wilderness. This was a picture of Israel wandering under the old covenant in the wilderness. They were helpless. Trying to live up to the law will make you helpless, puny, and weak. No doubt about it. Next verse. Look at this. Amen. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in the condition a long time, he said, "Do you want to be made well?" That is a powerful statement. Jesus saw him, but I'm going to share something a little bit on down here that I want you to see. But Jesus saw him lying there. You know, some people, they just don't want to be made well. They just don't want to receive any more from God. Oh, I'm so blessed already. Well, you know why? God is such an overflowing, overgiving God. Or they just don't, they're just to the place, well, I'm just happy with where I am. Folks, don't settle in, amen? He asked him, do you want to be well? Because some people just don't, they don't want to be well. They're happy in their misery. Gloom, despair, excessive misery, right? Turn to somebody and say, not me. Next verse, amen? Look at this, next verse. The sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming down, another steps before me. He had no one to put him in the pool. Next verse. Amen. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. Wow. Rise, take up your bed and walk. What happened? And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and the day was the Sabbath day. Are you all still with me here this morning? That place is a picture of the old covenant law, whereby you need to qualify yourself to receive the blessing of God. You no longer have to qualify yourself because Jesus has qualified you. He sought out this man who had been there for 38 years. He said, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made whole? I want you to drop down to John 5, 19 and 20. Look at Jesus. This is really interesting. 19 and 20. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Jesus had a picture prior to even going there, knowing what the Father wanted done. He had a vision knowing what the Father wanted to be done. When you have a redemptive revelation in your life, you know exactly what God wants you to do. There is no doubt in your life. You are strong in the Lord and great in the power of his might. Amen? There is no doubt that God has vision for your life, and you can come to the place and you know exactly what to do. There were a lot of lame folk there that day, but this man is what Jesus saw his Father tell him to go and lay hands on him. When you have the Spirit of God in your life and the redemption revelation, he'll lead you and even tell you who to pray for to get results. Next verse. I love this, man. This is so good. For the Father loves the Son. Jesus had a redemptive revelation of God's love for him. For the Father loves the Son. Turn to somebody and say, God loves you. Say, God loves you in spite of yourself. For the Father loves the Son and shows and paints the picture, shows him all things that he himself does. Wow. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. God has got greater works than even this man being healed after 38 years. God wants to show us greater works in this last days. God is going to show you greater works that you might even say, wow, Jesus, that is awesome. I believe we are on the brink of the greatest healing release that we've ever seen in the body of Christ. I believe that God is getting ready to manifest in so many ways across this nation because the body of Christ is at the point where they say enough is enough. I'm going to rise up. I'm going to take my position in Christ. I'm going to share the good news. You really want to know what's going to change this country? It's not another president. It's not another congressman. It's none of that. It's when the body of Christ raises up, takes their authority, and speaks the gospel of grace and love to everyone they come in contact with. That is when we'll see a change in America. Come on, somebody. Amen and amen. Quit relying on your government check. Jesus' economy is much bigger than the government. Oh, well, I can't wait to make $15 an hour. Baby, you're going to starve to death. You better be making more than that now. God's got better for you. Turn to somebody and say, God's got better for you. He's got better for you. God's got better for you. God's got better for you. I want you to point somebody's finger and say, God's got better for you. Come on. You might be there right now. You might be working one of those jobs, but I declare over you, God's got better for you. God wants to give your family blessings. God wants to give you vision. God wants to put you in an entrepreneurial spirit. Amen. That you will be a blessing to many. God's got better for you. Amen. Don't just settle for something there. God's got better. If you're working a job right now, I've worked for $6 an hour. I worked carrying a double golf bag when I was 12 years old for $2.15, 18 holes. And they were big golf bags there, and I weighed about 90 pounds. The bags almost weighed more than I did. But I kept believing somehow there's something better. Start believing there's something better for me. Hallelujah. God's vision will manifest in your life when you open your heart to it. Acts 2:17 is a prophetic word back in Joel. It said this, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You got to start speaking into your future. Speak to it. Speak to it. Your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. I'm not old yet. I'm still seeing vision. Amen. Thank you for that, Lord. So throughout the Bible, we can see the language of the Holy Spirit, and the language of the Holy Spirit is in vision. He gives visions. Amen. He gave vision to Peter, to Cornelius, told Peter, rise up and eat. Without that vision, the message of grace would have not come to the Gentiles. God gave him that vision. Amen. He gives you a vision. He's got a vision for your family. Listen to me, it's always a good vision. God's vision's not negative, it's always positive. Amen. Look at Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2:3. I always love the book of Habakkuk. It's one of my favorite books, but I always think about, you know, it's like a testimony. Somebody gets up and says, hey, I've been delivered from Habakkuk. Some of you get that later, huh? For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak. This time is now. And it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. That vision is going to come to pass. The vision God gave you, amen? His vision is always, always, always a good vision. How do you say, Pastor, how do we get that vision? How do we begin to see this redemptive revelation? I want to give you something to pray. I'm going to give you something to pray. You all pray, right? Ephesians 1, 16 through 20. Let me give you this. This should be your daily prayer. You should confess this over your life, over your family. Hallelujah. It is so powerful. Ephesians, amen, 1, 16 through 20. Take a look. Do not cease to give thanks. Do not cease to give thanks for making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'll get my tongue untangled here in a second, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. What a powerful combo. When you have the vision, the revelation, the redemptive revelation in your life, and you've got the spirit of wisdom to carry it out. Woo! That is good. In the knowledge of Him, in the Word of God. The revelation starts with the new covenant Word of God. Come on, next verse, amen. Wow. The eyes of our understanding might be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling in your life. Don't get sidetracked. God's got good for you. You may say, well, I'm not called to the ministry. Sometimes you should just rejoice. Woo! I'm called to be a businessman. Hallelujah. I'm called to be a doctor. I'm called to be a lawyer. I'm called to be a nurse. Thank God for you. I'm called to be a teacher. Thank God. Amen. God's got a calling for you. I'm called to own my own construction company. In fact, Pastor Iman, I just built that church for you. I receive it. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, so many times we think a call is always into ministry. Listen, there's many callings. It's not always into ministry, although you're in ministry in your calling. You want to know a secret? Turn to somebody and say, you want to know a secret? All of us are in ministry. All of us are in ministry. We think, well, it's only a pulpit ministry. No, no, no. There is much more ministry than a pulpit ministry. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory, the manifestation of his inheritance in the saints. I love you. I love you, Lord. This is so good. Next verse. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who simply believe according to what? The working of his power. God wants to work his power in you and through you. This prayer should be prayed every day. You should get up and just pray this prayer. It is so interesting because over in Isaiah 11:2, we're going to go there, and I'm going to give you one or two more verses and we're going to close. But Isaiah 11:2, I want you to see this prophetic word of Jesus and the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Jesus, us. Jesus in you. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation. The Spirit of counsel and strength, might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear or the awe of the Lord rested upon Jesus. That same Spirit is in you today. Same Spirit, Spirit of wisdom, understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of knowledge, and the awe of the Lord. Where Paul said that your understanding may be enlightened, the word understanding there in the Greek is imagination. That you start seeing things, imagining. Remember when you was a kid, how much you imagined? Anybody imagine when you were a kid? Remember growing up when you were a kid? Anybody have any imagination besides Pastor? Faith does back there. She's away. I love you, Faith. Amen. I love you guys. Yeah. Start using your imagination in the Spirit for the good things of God. Start seeing yourself as God sees you, like I started this morning. Start seeing yourself and knowing the hope of his calling, amen, the riches of his glory, God's inheritance, healing, prosperity, salvation, deliverance, salvation for our families, restoration, good things. Start looking at the exceeding greatness of his power towards you. When you have a vision, hallelujah, take your vision and run with it. Write it down. Back to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. Let's close with this morning. Here's this deliverance again. I've been delivered from Habakkuk. Thank you, Lord. I stand my watch. I set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Write the vision. Make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Write the vision. Write what God puts on your heart so you can see it every day. Say, thank you, Lord. And then speak over what God gives you. Speak over in faith. Has God called you to have your own business? Write it down. Say, thank you, Lord. This is what God's called me to do. I'm writing it down. Lord, I'm going to speak over this. I thank you for success. I thank you I have the wisdom of God to put this in place. I thank you I know exactly who to hire. In fact, God, you're going to send me the right people. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I receive that. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I receive. God, I have a vision. God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I just write this down. I thank you for it. Start writing down things that you desire in your life that you are believing God for. Thank you, Lord, for a brand new home paid for. Two of you said amen. Thank you, Lord, for my home paid for. Write that down. Thank you, God, I'm believing for debt freedom. Come on, somebody, write it down. Lord, I'm believing for debt freedom in the next year. Put a date on it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Write it down. Start believing God for it. If you don't start believing God for it, you're not going to receive it. Believe it and receive it. Amen. Let's stand this morning and give God some praise today. Amen. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. God is a faithful, faithful God. And you're here this morning, and you know, I don't know where your life is or what you're going through. We're going to make some confessions today, but we also have additional prayer in room 3. Crystal will be glad to see you back there if you need healing. If you haven't received it yet, I believe you already have. But if you still need some prayer, she'll meet you back there and be glad to pray over you. Amen. And others will be glad to pray over you this morning. But I want us to put our hands up this morning and say, thank you, Lord. Come on, say it out loud. Thank you, Lord, for redemptive revelation of your word, of your grace word in my life. Thank you, God. I receive it. You have a good plan for me. A good plan. A plan not to harm me, but to give me success. I declare favor over my life, over my business, over my family, over my work, over everything I put my hand to. I declare favor in every area of my life today. Jesus, thank you for that revelation of your grace and your goodness. In Jesus' name, I receive it. Amen and amen. Give God some praise this morning. He's worthy. Hey, before you go this morning, turn to somebody and say, I'm blessed. How about you?